Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now with John Rothstein. Pleased to be joined by UCLA head coach Mick Cronin. And Mick, welcome. What is the summer vacation spot for somebody when they live in Southern California?
Two hours south, Del Mar, California.
So there is really no desire to take an actual trip when you can just go to Del Mar.
As Bing Crosby wrote, take a plane, take a train, take a car. No, not for me. I mean, others tend in the family wish we would go to like some beach on the, we have those, you know, you got other options, you know, as you know, you like Santa Barbara. You can go all the way up to Monterey. I could go see Sonny Vaccaro up in Carmel. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the point? What are we going to get on a plane for? Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really a beach guy. If you haven't noticed, my skin isn't really conducive to going to the beach. In retirement, I'd like to travel, obviously, now, you know, see a lot of places, do things. But yeah, beach isn't my thing.
Fair enough. Well, summertime is always a great time for coaches to reconnect with family. And for you, it's been a different type of experience because last year you had your daughter across the country for the first time going through college. What was it like as a parent for the first time to have, you know, your daughter in college?
Very weird. Went through it. So my stepson will be a sophomore at Miami of Ohio. So mm-hmm. That's kind of home, you know, 40 minutes from Cincinnati. And then you got Sammy, though. She's all the way in D.C. at American University. And D.C. is a great city. And she loves it. But I miss her. And, you know, but you're going to find this out, John. You lose them when they get a bunch of friends. Then they kind of, everybody says they come back when they're 23. So she's on the move, man. I don't see her, but it's like, even in the summertime, she's up, gone, everywhere around LA. I know she's going to Universal today. She was at Santa Monica Beach yesterday, man. She lives a good life. I want to come back as her. But I made her go to an American basketball game. I said, you got to support the team at least one time. Now, you know, the people listening don't. She's a theater girl, so I've trained her not to be, you know, coach's daughter sitting behind the coach sweating out my life. I don't want her any part of my existence. So, you know, she's much more educated and cultured.
You know, Mick, I remember you saying when you took the UCLA job now over 7 years ago that one of the things that drew you to UCLA was the opportunity, not just for yourself, but to amplify the life for your daughter and your family. Now that you have been through this for 7.5 years, how specifically do you think being in Southern California amplified the life for your daughter?
Oh, for both of them, you know, my stepson, I think it really helped him academically. You know, culture wise for my daughter, who, you know, is a mixed race child, here, that's, she's in almost in the majority, you know, at her school, comfort zone around, you know, teachers use these terms. I hear them talk. They say, you know, you got to find your people. A lot of her people, like, you know, here, you know, I think, look, going through something like a cross-country move is tough on a young person, but nowadays we're not very tough on young people. So it wasn't a bad thing to have to go learn, meet new friends, go to a new school, learn how to deal with things they're going to have to deal with in life. But it was awesome, you know, for them. And it's no knock on Cincinnati. It's where I'm from. It's an awesome place. But I'm also a believer in, besides good weather, you know, and it's the best here, in evolution. You only live once. And I think to try new things is something I try to get across to them. You know, you can't be afraid to be who you want to be. And you're going to fail along the way. So, you know, all that was a part of coming here. I think so. It's been a great experience. Not good, great.
Well, trying new things is something that we all have to do at certain points in life. But last year, you probably didn't want to try this particular new thing with real great passion because you coached for the first time in a while a below average defensive team. What was that like for you?
Well, I'd say metrically we were above average nationally, but for Mick Cronin team, definitely below average. And I know that's what you're getting at, my man. They, yeah, we weren't, you know, we've talked about this summer. You know, if you want to be an elite team, you got to be top 10 in offense and defense. It was probably the most frustrating thing. So obviously not something I had dealt with too much. You know, having to score to win games at a high clip. We got better, and that's why we emerged late in the year. You know, we made, you know, again, you talked about the change going into this, right? You know, we changed some things before our home game against Purdue. We started changing some things defensively that we were doing in our man-to-man defense in the half court, just trying to search again to hide your weaknesses and different ways to get stops. I think, you know, people on the outside don't recognize that stuff. Coaches we played against could tell you what we did. Right. You got to continue to do it. So, you know, try to address some of that in the portal as well this year, in your recruiting, and some of the guys you bring in, you know, Xavier Robinson, you know, as Stink Robinson, and JoJo Filon, Jalen Petty are all ball hawks on and they're on the ball defense, where Donnie Dent was an offensive player, for sure. And, you know, if Tyler Billado was an above average defender, he'd have been a top 20 pick in the NBA draft the way he shoots the ball. So, yeah, we try to address some of those things to get deeper on the front line, to get more quickness in the backcourt, you know, and do a better job coaching. I think you always got to look in the mirror too, John. You always got to say, you know, what can we do better adjustment wise? Sure, some of it is personnel. You are a prisoner to your personnel to an extent. But you got to be willing to continue to try things to get better at whatever you need to get better at.
Well, you did make an adjustment late in the year because you downshifted to a smaller lineup and started, you know, Eric Daly and Tyler Billado together with three guards, Dent, Clark, and Trent Perry, who had a great sophomore season. And you had incredible momentum, I felt, going into the postseason, which was highlighted by a win over Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. And then you lost to, you just referenced, Tyler Billado, not just for the next game against Purdue in the Big Ten tournament, but for the NCAA tournament with a knee injury. So there were so many emotions when you look at last season. Now that you've had some time to decompress, how are you going to look back on last year?
Unfinished business, because you just don't know what would have happened. You know, Dan and I talk, Dan Hurley and I have known each other forever. You know, when we're out by the buses and he's like, you know, you didn't have your guy. And I was like, you know, it happens, you know, hope it doesn't happen to you. You know, it's happened a couple of times where I played in NCAA tournaments without NBA players, you know, three NBA draft picks, Jalen Clark, Darren Bone, and now Tyler Billado. Didn't play in the NCAA tournament for us. So it's tough. But if you coach long enough, that stuff's going to happen, John. I think the bigger problem, you know, the way I look at it, though, is for the guys. It's Tyler's senior year. It's his last. He worked his whole life for that. Same with Jalen Clark. You know, for your career to end on an injury in your college career is tough. But I just try to tell him, look, you're going to have a pro career, so and stay positive with them. But I know they're going to think about it their whole life, and then for their teammates. So, but again, life's learning to deal with things that you know happen, and how do you react to them? But and your fans obviously are distraught about it. They begin to talk about things like jinxes and you know things of that nature when it comes to the injury stuff. So. All I do is try to stay focused on the X and O piece outside of recruiting. You know, you get fundraising, recruiting, and then actual coaching. So it's fun for me to be done with putting the port team together through the portal and recruiting and get on to coaching now because the other stuff can be pretty taxing.
Mick, I know that you want to win a national championship. I know that you also could go 40-0 and be angry about how six of the games went, even if you won. But I also know that you want to teach these kids life lessons through basketball. So when you're talking to Tyler Bilodeau after you lose to UConn and you have one of the great offensive players in the country who can't play and his college career is over after that game, are you teaching him more about life in that moment when he has to deal with adversity, or do you teach him more about life when he makes a three-point shot at Pauley Pavilion to beat Purdue?
Yeah, in Tyler's case, you know, he's got unbelievable parents that in the sports world. So he's got an advantage in that. You know, I think you just try to be comforting at that time. Mm. It's all you can really do. He was visibly shaken in the locker room crying in a game he didn't even play in. But that's what you want as a coach. Not necessarily for that to happen, but to see how invested the guy was, how much he loved his teammates, he loved his time at UCLA. But also the fact that, this guy just watched his team lose an NCAA tournament while he's sitting on the bench with a knee injury that wasn't that bad, but it just needed 4 weeks, from safety purposes. For a guy that's going to play into his 30s, you got to do what's right for the player. In that situation. But anyway, John, I think there's a time to do a lot of talking and there's a time to just tell a guy, hey man, if this is the worst thing that ever happens to you, you're going to live a hell of a life. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my message to guys when, minor things in sports that they think as a young person, you think it's the worst thing that ever happened to you. But you and I both know, life happens, and there's going to be a lot more trials and tribulations than having a minor knee injury.
You know, Mick, you're a very demanding coach. You're somebody who does not let up on your players because you want the best for them, not just, in terms of what they're going to do for you production-wise, but for life beyond basketball. But considering how demanding you are, your retention rate, both at Cincinnati and at UCLA, is astronomically good. I know, obviously, you're going to lose a player here or there, in the transfer portal era. But why do you think, even though you're such a demanding coach, you were able to retain such a high percentage of your players?
Yeah, these are things I don't think about. I think, the media and not you necessarily, but non-professionals that want to get clicks, in the world of, the social media now, people want to, they paint you in certain lights. And, I don't go to great lengths to care about, how people want to view me. Yep. Actually I go to zero lengths on that. it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I think you got to care about what your loved ones, your players, the guys you coach with, you work with, obviously your family, your friends, people that know you. It's just such a waste of time in our society of people worrying about what people outside of that think about them. But they're trying to make money based off that perception. And that's their choice. That's their choice. And you really got down right there, John, to the crux of where we're at in our society. Where creating an online image can get you a job, can make you a lot of money. So I don't begrudge anybody for doing that. That's just the era we're in, and you have to tell young people it's dangerous for young men. I tend to watch some of the stuff that Scott Galloway talks about. He actually went to UCLA, and he's a brilliant mind in our time. And the dangers of these images of success that we're building for young people, what they see online. And it's not, what you see of me, but people want to paint is not real at all. And some of it's strategy. Maybe I want the attention on myself to get it. So I don't want the online people beating up my players, John.
Right.
Because they didn't play very well on a trip to Michigan.
Right.
And then look what happened in the next 10 games.
Yeah.
See, maybe it was strategy. People don't realize that. Maybe people aren't crazy, but but that's just the era we're in. You have to accept it. I don't begrudge anybody for doing it. I try to explain that, again, my focus is on our players, John.
Yeah.
And trying to get them to understand that that's not reality. And the big pitfall for today's player is building their self-worth off of the people say they're playing well, that they're going to be a pro, and what is being said about them online.
Right.
And that is a dangerous thing for young people, trying to live up to something that's not even real. It's not real. Right. None of that stuff is real. Everybody's got problems. It's all staged. I have a friend here in LA, John, that has a plane that doesn't work, and he's made millions off of it. Bought a broke down plane. He put nice new leather interior, and it's sold out every day, all day, of people waiting in line to go onto the fake private jet, broke down, and they just take pictures and they do videos and they take pictures and they do videos.
That's amazing.
And everybody around the country watches these things like these people are famous, and they're all sitting in their car waiting with to go in, and they're buying 30 minutes at a time. Yeah, so I don't know, man. I would say, look, players know if they're improving, and the transfer portal is a good thing for players that think they need a change that is better. Some guys aren't playing and they want to play more. You know, the bad part of it is you hear, I think the football is a football thing, Clemson, Ole Miss. And when guys are getting bought behind your back, you know, that's, you know, a major issue. I think that's talked about a lot. I don't know if you've talked about it here with the hoops thing, but it goes on. I mean, look, it goes on. You know, you got agents trying to steal players from agents. So we were fortunate this year that all five of our guys stayed. Most of our players have stayed my whole career. That's how you got better. That's how you build. It's just the truth, but the truth gets in the way of a bad story sometimes, John.
Well, let's then focus on what's happening on the court, because that's what really matters. How do you get UCLA now to resemble the brand of basketball that we saw early in your tenure, pre-NIL, starting here in the 26-27 season?
Well, look, we've had a couple really good years. Your first 2 years in the Big Ten are tough. We've had a couple guys drafted. We've had some good teams. We haven't had a great team. So the answer is getting back to having a great team. And it just goes down to players. When you start looking at everything that changed on how you got to have money to get high level players, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that comes on your show and it gets, you know, again, the truth gets in the way of a story again. Everybody that comes out, I really bonded with the coaching staff. It was the best offer you got. Okay. Right. How many recruits are taking less money to go to other schools?
Yeah.
Do people really think that's cool? I mean, do you take less money to stay at the job you're at now, John? No.
No.
Well, either do I. So, right. For us, I think our talent level is up. Obviously, you know, people know about Nikola Kusturica because of social media and his draft projection 2 years from now, but he's 17. And we can't put all that on him. You know, part of, I think, one of the reasons they picked UCLA is I'm going to protect him as well as let him grow and try to have him, or he's got 2 years to grow into hopefully the first pick in the NBA draft. But you can't just come in and put everything on a kid like that. We have a good returning group. I would tell you that, you know, our five, Jalen Petty is a bit, and this is all you do, more so than me. I actually have a side life. You don't. you're going around watching practices in July. Jalen Petty, you know, is a very, very good player. To be a guy that gets 20 points in games in the Big 12 as a freshman on the road is unbelievably impressive. Playing alongside a guy that got drafted, I believe in the first round, Anderson did, right, John?
Mm-hmm.
On a top 10 team, until Toppin went down, Texas Tech was a top 10 team. So you're not playing, when people, numbers don't impress me on losing teams, because even the losing teams get beat, 80-60. Jalen Petty was doing everything he was doing as a starter most of the year on a winning team. Just a great kid. But look, let's talk about offensive. We need offense. Tyler graduated. Donovan Dent graduated. He's going to be able to give us immediate offensive punch. I mean, immediate offensive punch. He's got great escapability, quickness with the bounce. He can. He's a big time shot maker. Really excited about him, and that'll create. That'll make life easier on Trent Perry.
Yeah.
And it's going to make life easier on some guys around him. And then I'm high on Snake Robinson. He broke Greg Oden's scoring record at Lawrence North. And then you're talking about a guy that broke his nose diving head first on a loose ball, shattered his wrist, was out months. His first practice back at UCLA, I'm going to say he dove on the floor five times. But he can shoot. He can shoot too. So now you're a tough kid that can make shots, can get in the lane. You know, Eric Freeney came on, as you know, well for us. You know, Eric Daly and it can do things with the ball. He's a bona fide scorer. He scored double figures at the highest level for the last couple of years for us. Then, you throw in Nicola, who's not here. Hopefully he'll be here next week, getting through customs and the visa stuff and all that. But I think the question for us is going to be front line. Philip Jovich, Sergey, and obviously Xavier Booker. I put Brandon Williams, even though he's not a center, but he's a rebounder. He gives us great toughness. Can we get a high-level play in a game, consistently in that? And that's going to be – that's down the stretch, Philip Jovich played great for Auburn. And if you look at the NCAA tournament, and from the time that I put Xavier Booker coming from off the bench late in the year, he took off.
Yep.
He was our best player in the NCAA tournament for two games.
Yep.
So, but that's going to be the key for us. I mean, if you just said, what's the key? I'm pretty confident we're going to be play and be as good as anybody on the perimeter. I think the question for us is going to be, how good are we going to be on the front line? And can we match up, in a game? Obviously, we open November 1st with Big Mo Crevis, right? Yeah. Can we not – Utah State played unbelievably well against them. I watched that game last week, but gave up 20-something offensive rebounds. Arizona will beat you up if you let them. So can we hold down the fort on the front line? Can Xavier Booker have a great year? Can Philip Jovich continue what he was doing at Auburn?
So Stink Robinson is full go after that wrist injury at Butler for UCLA right now.
Yeah, no, he's back playing. I told you, his first practice, he's diving all over the floor. It just shows you, it's just his DNA. It's just he's got tremendous toughness, great kid, and he can shoot. I think his development going forward is going to be my ability to teach him how to play point guard. He's more of a combo that scored a lot of points in high school. Can he run a team when needed? But he's playing with Jalen Petty and obviously Trent Perry. So he can have the year to learn all that. But he's a weapon. I'm telling you, people have trouble getting the ball up the floor against him.
Well, it seems like, I know this is only July, but it seems like the DNA of this team is more defensive minded than the team we saw a year ago. So I know it's really, really early, and I know you're going to have several dozen more practices before you play somebody, but does the makeup of this team remind you of an early UCLA team or maybe a Cincinnati team?
Well, I would say that our with Stink and Jalen Petty, Trent uses his size. We have two ball hawks and Eric Freeney. Eric Freeney just won the Nebraska game for us.
Yeah.
Because he just locked on to Sandefjord and just ran through every screen. Like a drunk guy running through roadblocks. It was unbelievable. So, with Eric Freeney, those guys and Petty Robinson on the perimeter of just defensive quickness and toughness. Nicola won Defensive Player of the Year at that. The USA won the beat Serbia in the finals, but Nicola got Defensive Player of the Tournament. I think he led the tournament in steals and blocks because he's got such long arms as a wing. Back to the same thing, John. Can we get defensive presence at the rim? I think all great teams, Bob Huggins used to say this when, you know, my time with him, 96 to 01, you know, you got to have some people that can erase mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because mistakes happen defensively. If you look at Kelvin Sampson, my buddy, his teams here lately where he's been on this real run, and you're going to throw out the names, but I know Francis.
Yeah. Juwan Roberts.
Yeah. And he's had some shot blockers, Tugler. And there's one more we're missing. But he's had some erasers at the rim. And sometimes two in the game. That's what really, like when you beat a team's defense and then you come up empty because they got mistake erasers. That's what the real great defensive teams all have. Because people are going to strategize. You're going to get broken down at times, especially we play in an era where you're allowed to carry the basketball pretty mm-hmm. much. You know, unless you just put your hand literally under the ball. If you don't do that, you can carry the ball and the skill level so high. It's hard. It's really hard to do ball containment way more than it ever was. So if you got to have some that's so Xavier Booker's got to be more of a presence for us at the rim. Filip Jovic is sneaky now. He can really jump. So we and Sergei's 6'10". So we got to make sure we have rim presence and erase some mistakes. I think that's the entire key to everything. It's probably the difference if you look at the national championship game last year.
Yeah.
And just look at that game and break it down. It wasn't great shot making because it was a bloodbath.
Yeah.
One team disallowed more shots at the rim.
Well, Mick, you know, you've touched on a bunch of your newcomers, but, you know, retention, as we've talked about, is so big in this climate. You have five guys back who logged double figure minutes in your last game, which is a rarity in this climate. Who among UCLA's returnees makes the biggest jump in 26-27?
Yeah. You know, my staff, and as you know, the great Darren Savino, he would say, you know, thanks for mentioning that again. You know, people actually believe that we care about players and develop players. Players stay because they think they're getting better. If they don't think they're getting better, John, they would leave. To answer your only earlier question, I would say, you know, of those five guys, if you want me to talk about, obviously Trent Perry is a great player, had a great sophomore year. But if you want the wild card guys, you know, in that, I would say Xavier Booker.
Mm-hmm.
Look, John, he's 6'11". He shot over 43% from three. He's somebody that has still searching for his identity as a person, not just as a player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a good man. He's a very introspective young man. I'm trying to get him to learn that it's okay to have a dual personality. Like, mm-hmm. you know me as a friend. We've known each other 20-something years.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been to my house. I grilled out steaks. I had to have more scent than a house the way you eat steaks is unbelievable. But never seen anybody eat like that. But that's a whole, you know, literally Chestnut. You're the only guy I know could give Joey Chestnut a run. but Xavier Booker has got to learn. He's got to have a separate personality when he's playing. To become an extroverted guy that is super confident. He's had a quiet confidence, but I see there's so much more in the gas tank for him, John. There really is. There's more in the gas tank for him. He's got upside. So. I guess I don't know if I missed answering your question. So if you want to, that's my big thing. You know, I just think he can be. Why have five blocks? I think in our Central Florida game, maybe.
I know he was 14-7, and I think 2.5 in two NCAA tournament games. So
yeah.
I mean, if he averages that throughout next season, he'll be an All Big Ten player. But the pattern we have right here is you guys have a lot of good returning personnel, which. You guys, when you had a heavy Euro influx in 23-24, didn't necessarily have many proven veterans except for Adem Bona. Will that make the transition for Nikola Kuzmarenko a little bit easier because you do have players back to shepherd them along through this transition process?
Oh, absolutely. You know, back then, you mentioned that year, Dembone is your returning guy, and he's a sophomore.
Right.
You know, so I think we're just in that era where I think to have a great team, you got to have an influx of talent, but you have to have some returning guys.
Yeah.
If you're going to win at the highest level and be one of the best teams in the country, you got to have both. You can't just have talent. I don't think anybody's ever going to win it again with all freshmen, not in the 5-year era. You know,
right.
This is now beginning the 5-year era, but it really began, John, during COVID.
Yep.
You know, when they, after 2020, when they gave everybody the COVID year back and you got injury waivers.
Yeah.
So 21 to 26, those 5 years of college basketball were the era where, you know, Coach Calipari was screaming all the time about playing against Chad Baker Mazzaro, who's whatever, I don't know. But teams with 23, 24, 25-year-olds. Guys go on, I think sometimes he's irresponsible to say the guy's 27. No, he's not 27. Okay, he's 25. You know, there's older guys. And that's old enough. If you're playing in an era now where I think you got to have both. Having all, I don't know how you could win it with all 18-year-olds when people are going to have 23-year-olds. And I'm like, you know, they're not 25. You know, the fifth year guy, he's 23, and that's pretty old, you know, compared to an 18-year-old kid. So you got to have both. You know, I think, guys, you know, we got Nikola coming, he's 17. You know, we got JoJo Filon coming in. He's going to play, I think, in the NBA someday. The guys, we haven't talked about him. He's one of the best defensive players that I've ever seen. Like, Jalen Clark was at practice last week. He was, coach, you got two guys like me. JoJo Filon and Stink Robinson. So I think our defense could be better. I think that's the key, John. You know, we try to target, if you look at our portal guys, the guys that are going to be here a while.
Yeah.
You know, Philip, Sergey, them guys are all, you know, the guys we brought in, Jalen Petty's only sophomore. You know, as you go down or the clicks of, you know, and it's so you can continue to have returning players. And be sure, you got to try to have enough money to be able to get somebody that is a top 10 pick.
Right. But
that all comes in and goes back to what I said. It's laughable. I mean, there's a reason the Dodgers have the best team. They bought them.
Right. Right. Well, that's part of it, and it's part of this ever-evolving world until we get some guardrails that we have to deal with. But you were able to secure, a commitment from one of the top prospects in the world in Nikola Kuzmarenko. And I know people, especially in this climate, anoint people before they ever accomplish anything. But you've obviously thought about him within the infrastructure of your team. What are reasonable expectations for him when he comes to college basketball around a veteran team?
Well, look, I said he'll be here next week. And, you know, my thing is a baby steps. You know, one thing about him, the Serbian kids that I've had, and obviously I have a Serbian coach, they're ingrained in basketball. It's all they know. And their culture is not like ours. So they're not about branding. You know, they're about the game. And part of, I think, why his group and Nikola, they told me I remind them of what they're used to, a Serbian coach that's not trying to be an Instagram coach.
Right.
You know, and be some, you know, be somebody, you know, on a Zoom call that he's not. So,
yeah,
I think I got to protect him, though. You know, and because he's coming to a place where everybody wants your blood. And the minute you don't have a great game, they're going to, you know, pick you apart. You got to give a guy a chance, you know, let him, you know, leave the guy alone, let him do his thing. Guys, he's going to have ups and downs. I would tell you, the thing that I love the most about him is his passing.
Yeah.
You know, at 6'8" or 9" and great with the bounce, his ability to find people over the top with his vision is a huge weapon. You know, everybody goes on and puts up all, this is a great play, you run this offense. Hey, man, whatever the hell you run, you know, look, I'm a big guy, a big Phil Jackson fan. They tried to have Derek Fisher run the triangle at the Knicks. How did it go?
Right.
You know, how was the triangle when he didn't have Jordan or Kobe? You know, great players tend to make plays work.
Right.
That's just the fact. I mean, yes, coaching does matter. But when you have a guy, John, that can find the open man.
Yeah.
When the when you do whatever you do and the guy, they can find the open man, it that's what destroys defenses, because the guy just picks you apart. So his passing is the thing that really I love the most. And then his passion is second. You know, I don't think you can be great if you're not a passionate guy. You can have all, if you're a flatline guy, you're not going to be great. I'm going to have to dial him down, though, because I see, you know, you've seen the play where Nicole had a dunk and then he kissed the rim. I mean, that's going to be a bad technical.
Yeah, you're not going to go for that. But, Mick, you know, it got me thinking watching him, you know, overseas. And, you know, your first season changed at UCLA when you downshifted and played a young kid named Jaime Jaquez at power forward. From what you're telling me about the potential depth of your perimeter, could you in spurts use Nikola Kusturica in that Jaime Jaquez role as a small ball four?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, you know, he and Eric Daly are similar. They're big, small forwards. Eric's, you got to remember, Eric's a lot older and a lot tougher physically, you know, a lot stronger physically. That can handle himself, you know, against people that would be power forwards. You know, from a defensive standpoint, I think that the both of those guys out front with the ball create problems. We're a four out team, so really it's just defensively. Can you be okay on the glass and the backboard, which we were not. I mean, I know you talked about we weren't a great defensive team last year by our standards, but it's same with rebounding. So obviously the addition of all the guys that we brought in, can we be a better rebounding team? You know, it's funny, John, all these guys, you try to give them simple things. I gave this one, I'm going to give this one to Eric Daly. I haven't yet, but he can watch this, but I'm going to give it to him this week. I told Xavier Booker that if he ever averages 9 rebounds a game, because he's allowed to play 2 more years now in college.
Yeah.
If he ever averages 9 rebounds a game, he will get drafted and he'll play in the NBA. It's a real simple thing. If he could ever average 9 and maybe 8, but I gave him a high goal. If he could do that, like, you know, you try to give guys, like, if you can do this, you're going to make it. Like, all these guys, they work on step backs and slide jump shots and all this. If you want to get drafted, you have to shoot over 40% from 3. Like Johnny Juzang is a great guy. I mean, great guy. He didn't get drafted. He didn't shoot over 40% from 3.
Yeah.
He didn't. You know, Tyler Bilodeau did. He shot 46 and he got drafted.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, like for guys like Eric Daly, I think he's more apt to be more physical to take, you know, he and Brandon Williams are big, strong guys. They can take a lot of pressure off Nicole as far as, you know, the power type, you know, thing goes. So we really don't like all those guys are facing up playing. For us. And sometimes, you know, obviously it's 5 out with Xavier Booker because he can shoot the lights out.
Well, Mick, you're going to need to rebound because looking at your non-conference schedule, you had mentioned Arizona on that first Monday. You're also going to have Gonzaga in Orange County, St. Mary's, and then maybe Texas and San Diego. You're at Arizona State, but that's all that comes with being a part of UCLA. Now that you've had this job for over 7 years, What is the biggest thing that you love about being the head basketball coach at UCLA?
And when you go to work, I go to work every day. As I get close to work, I turn left on Sunset Boulevard. And I never, ever take that for granted, ever. I turn, if I want to go to the beach, I go right. It's about 3 miles, 3.5. If, you know, I turn left and, you know, I'm at the gates of Bel Air on my on one side and UCLA's on the other side of the street. You know, but you're at a place of excellence. It's one of the, you know, it's a world renowned university. The history, obviously, you know, behind me, I give you one of these, John, that, you know, Kareem gave me that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many, you ever think in my life I was going to know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and get to talk about civil rights, which yeah. I have with him. I mean, just that alone is just mind blowing. And to meet so many of Coach Wooden's family, but all, you know, a lot, like I'm friends with a lot of guys that played for Coach Wooden that are great guys, Mike Warren, Andy Hill, Jamal Wilkes, Lucius Allen, like we're on a text chain with those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just great, great guys. So yeah, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. I embrace every part of it. And look, with everything, there's pressure, there's good and bad. And we've gone through the transition of the portal and NIL era, which has been kind of crazy. But obviously in my time here, you want to try to be the third coach to win a title, right? Yeah. You want to try to get the 12th banner up. You know, so the beauty of our team this year, John, technically we have two seniors, but they have a super senior year if they want it.
No doubt.
Eric Daly and Xavier Booker.
No,
so
no.
We're potentially a team because Nicola cannot go pro for 2 years. So we could bring our entire team back the following year. Like, it's a big deal. We brought five guys back this year.
No doubt. I don't know how,
what's the percentage, John, out there? The average of guys that actually played? What's the return?
Going through all the power conference teams, very few teams return like over 45 or even 40% of their scoring. So you guys are in that criteria. But let's wrap on this, because you've referenced your front line being a major key for this team to again be, you know, one of the best teams in the country. Other than having great play out of the pivot on both sides of the floor, what are the biggest keys for UCLA to be one of the best teams in the country in 26-27?
Well, honestly, the first thing, you can't, I think too many coaches, we start talking about, you know, Trent Perry's got to do this, Jalen Petty's got to do that. But then we ask guys, we have all these talks with guys. You got to about that, you know, that they have to look in the mirror and they have to take accountability. I think you got to do a great job to maximize as a staff of getting the best out of your players. See, that's controllable. So the first thing is you got to do a great job coaching.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get guys, and you know, it's going to take time because, you know, like Nicole's not even here. I'm still learning. You know, this summer's good because you get to learn, like, what's Jalen Petty like? What's he good at? What's Sergey, Phillip, these guys, you know? So the summer's, like, for me, a searching mission. While we're putting in our defensive standards and working on our skill on offense, I'm trying to learn, okay, what's the best way for each of these guys to be successful? How do you put that in a team? So you got, you know, putting it together in 1 year for all of us is the challenge now, John. You know that. So it used to, you know, I remember I was on here with you and I got my whole team back for my first 2 years at UCLA.
Yeah.
You know, you're just tinkering. Now you're building from scratch every year. So you got to do a great job coaching. I think that's, you know, and what does that mean? All of it. Adjust, you know, something's not working, you got to throw it overboard and you can't be afraid to make the switch offensively, defensively, whatever it may be. There's so much to learn, man, on the fly when you start up, because you're dealing with guys for the first time. They're playing together for the first time. So it's long, long journey. It's not about who's great early. We played Arizona early. And if you'd asked me early after we played them, I would have told you they're going to get way better because Braden Burries is a huge fan. He's a great player. John, he wasn't even a factor when we played him in November.
I remember. Yeah.
Not I mean, but he's a young kid. He's a, you know, it was a big game early. I know how good he is because I've recruited him for 3 years.
Right.
Like I know he was a top 10 pick. So once he started playing that, they were going to go to another level. So, you know, it's you got to keep everybody out, keep the, you know, stay the course, make the proper adjustments. So I know you probably weren't expecting that answer, but I think you got, we always talk too much about what this player's got to do and that player's got to do. I think you got to do your job with your coaching staff.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure, guy, but you guys, and then when, if it works and guys have a good year, John, you give them all the credit. You give them all the credit. So that's how I look at it.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Always appreciate the time. Endeavoring to be out in Southern California in the preseason. I know you turn into a different person on the first day of practice, but hopefully I can come by and see you guys. And as always, look forward to staying connected along the way, Mick.
I got a few new spots now. You got to come out. We got to have dinner.
You got it. I look forward to that after practice. That's UCLA head coach Mick Cronin. I'm John Rothstein, and this is Inside College Basketball Now.
Podcasts.